Okay, everybody say. Very exciting. We're starting a new Vad with beautiful Torah. Tuesday night's Vad this year. Every year we do a different topic for Tuesday and Wednesday nights. This year we will be learning a sefer called Vad Nitzvila. If you want to buy it for yourself, it's probably kedai. You don't need to. We'll always make photocopies, but it's nice to have good svarim in your library. This is a sefer that was written by Rav Moshe Wolfson. And Rav Moshe Wolfson, for those of you who may not know, was nifter this summer, I believe. He was the mashkiach in Tarvadas in Brooklyn for many, many decades. And he also had a shul in Borough Park. Many of you may have been there. It's called Amunas Yisrael. And known for his exceptional Avodas Hashem. The tefillos in that shul, like a Shemayna Esrei, is, half an hour, 40 minutes. It's a very long davening, but it's for people that are serious Bali Aveda. You know, people, you're not going to daven there if you're not, because it's just too long and too, it's a real Aveda. And if you're not used to doing a real Aveda, which many of us are not, probably myself included, it would not be a place that would be too enjoyable to daven. But there was a big ilam that davened by him and that held him to be their Rebbe. And he has brilliant svarim. He has a set of svarim called Amunah Sitecha. His gematrius, if you're into gematrius, unbelievable gematrius, without a computer, without an internet, just long, very intricate psukim, and amazing Torah, amazing machshava. And this sefer that we'll be learning together this year is a much simpler sefer. It's not very complex. It's not very it's not very high level Torah machshava. It's like I like it. It's very plain, very digestible, very easy. I'm not into these very highfalutin chassidus, and it's not. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just not my style. I like things very easy and simple, and like the air we breathe. So that's what I find this sefer to be, and that's why I chose it this year. And I hope that you enjoy it as well. So let's begin. I'm not going to go through every piece by piece. The ones that I feel are more relevant to us, we'll be learning. And it's basically, it's not going to go like tefillah by tefillah. We're not going to dissect Ma'ida Ani and the Birchas HaShachars. That's other svarim do that. This is giving us the scaffolding for tefillah. The basic foundations of what tefillah is all about. If you're wondering, what am I spending so much time every day, Shachris, Mincha, Ma'ariv, doing? And what's and the anatomy of tefillah? Like, what is the Birchas HaShachar all about? What is Pesukah de Zimra? How does Pesukah de Zimra different than Birchas Kriya Shema and Shemayna Esrei? How do they all function? Like, what is the purpose of everything, all these different parts of tefillah? And we're going to be amazed by what we take away and how hopefully at the end of the year we'll have a much better overall aerial view of what tefillah is all about and our approach to tefillah. When I was in 7th, 8th grade, so I had a wonderful Rebbe that I speak a lot about. His name was Rav Moshe Fruchthandler. And I went to Hebrew Academy of Long Beach, and he was a Rebbe from, and I lived in Long Beach, I grew up in Long Beach, and he was a Rebbe that was from Chaim Berlin, and he lived in Brooklyn, and he was a very, very amazing Rebbe, and a very interesting personality altogether, and it was just a very refreshing experience to have such a Rebbe. It was very emotional. He could cry, he could laugh, he could, and I connected very, very much to him. And I remember one day I went over to him and I said that I started reading every single day the Geras Ramban, the Ramban's famous letter that he wrote to his son which is, they've written, you know, Sarim about it. Art Scroll has a book, A Letter for the Ages, and but before Art Scroll came along, I basically took a liking to this letter, and I was disappointed, because the Ramban at the end of the letter says that Kol Yaim, that every single day of Kol Yaim she, you know, Asher Tikra Seigeres Hazais, every day that you read this letter, you're going to get whatever you want. Anything that you want, you're going to be able to get. And I said, well, this is great. You know, I'll be able to get A's on all my tests. I'll be able to, you know, get all the snacks that I want and all the things that I need in life. I'll just be able to read this Igaris Ramban. And the Ramban promises that you get, on the day that you read it, everything that you want. Kol Asher, you know, Kol Mishalis Libcha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mamali. And I was finding that, strangely enough, that wasn't happening. I was, you know, saying the Igaris Ramban, and, you know, I wasn't getting A's on my test, and I wasn't, you know, getting all the many things that I needed, or I thought I needed. And I was confused, and I went to my Rebbe, and I said, what's going on? The Ramban promised, and it's not panning out that way. So I remember he told me that tefillah is not a vending machine. Not a vending machine. It's not that you... you know, you daven for something, or you say Nigeres Ramban, and automatically whatever you put in for, whatever button you pressed, you know, you get. It's not the way tefillah works. It's not the way these things work. The Nigeres Ramban, he says, it doesn't mean that when you read the Nigeres, you're going to get everything. He says, it means that when you learn up the Nigeres, and you're incorporating into your life all of the sidus of the Igaris, like the Igaris says, you have to be very humble. He's very into anivos and steer away from kas and all the things that a yid is supposed to be doing. Then, if you do that, you'll have siat dishmaya, and you will get what you need, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu deems that you need. But to say that, you know, I read it and automatically there's like a formula that I read something and I get whatever I want, that's not the way tefillah works. Not the way tefillah works. And with that as a little introduction, let's see what Ramesh Wolfson has to say, because he's saying along these lines, but he's telling us a very important yesod about what tefillah is. Tefillah is not a vending machine. What is it? Kasher ha'adam aymeru mispala b'kavana. When a person stands and davens with kavana, what do? We stand before Hashem and we're in the zone and we're davening. What do we want from Hashem? And we say to Him, "Ata kel Yeshuasi, rak ata yachal liyes bezrasi. You are the God of my salvation, and only You can be there to help me. I don't have anyone else to help me." Sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we feel that I can't do it on my own. This is something that's impossible. Rachman al-Tzan, you have somebody that you know that's very sick, and the doctors have thrown up their hands. They can't help the person anymore. Or there's some, you know, shalom bias issues in a home, and, you know, no one can help. The situation seems desperate. Or like what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. Situation is desperate. You have hundreds of hostages. Nobody knows where they are, what's going to be with them. Their fate is completely, seems to be out of our control. What do? We go to the Rabbeinu Shem, we open our siddur, we go to the Rabbeinu Shem, we say, listen, we can't do anything about it. We need You. We need You. That's a beautiful thing. That's nothing to feel guilty about. That's a very natural approach to tefillah. Nothing wrong with that. Ubazehu mekayim mitzvah d'iraisa. That's actually a kiyum of a mitzvah d'iraisa. Tefillah is a d'iraisa, according to some rishonim. Mitzvahs va'abadatem es Hashem lekechem. The pasuk says you should serve Hashem your God. Umitzvahs l'la'avdei b'chol levavchem. And we know that the Gemara says that ezo avayda shihi b'lev havei merzu tefillah. Tefillah is an avayda salev. It's the worship of the heart. And when it says, "Ula avdei b'chol levavchem," what does that mean? I serve Hashem with my heart. How do you serve Hashem with your heart? What do you do with your heart that you're serving Hashem? Davening. Davening is the Avedas HaLev. You're basically squeezing your heart out, wringing out your heart to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I need you. I want you. I have no one but you. That's a mitzvah say deraisa. When a person has kavana and tefillah, it's an opportunity to be mekayim a mitzvah say deraisa of ulaavdei b'chol levavchem. But that's not it. If a person only looks at tefillah as a way of getting what I want, it's good. It's a mitzvah, but it's sort of like a very infantile relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like I want this, I want that. And I'm davening, and I hope I'm going to get it. If the only reason why we're pulling out our sitter is to get the things that we need, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But that's not the entirety of tefillah. That's not, if we're doing that our whole life, and we're only davening, rifa'enu and slachlanu, and thinking that it's just what I need, and more than that, I'm not going to, you know, that's the whole point of davening, is just to ask Hashem for what I need. That is a very, very shallow approach to the tefillah vis-a-vis what the real avaida is. What is the real avaida of tefillah? Va'oid sha'tefillah inyana divekus. Hainu hischabris HaKadosh Baruch. You know what tefillah really is? Tefillah is an opportunity to get close to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Our job in life, our entire purpose in life is to get a kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be miskasher with Hashem. Vani kirvas alekim litayv, David HaMelech says. For me, all I want in life is to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says David HaMelech. Acha shalti meis Hashem veisa, v'agi shiftu veis Hashem kol yimei chayei, lach seis b'nei Hashem. I want to get a kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do I get a kesher with the Rabbeinu Shalom? The primary way of getting a kesher of dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tefillah. Kelashon HaGemara writes a isha bekavet tiflus dainu eschabrus. A woman would prefer a kav, like a small amount of stuff. She would prefer a small amount, but tiflus. Tiflus seems generally has like a negative connotation. Tiflus means like, you know, to be somewhat to be somewhat intimate with something, but in a negative way. But the way Wolfson sees from this word tiflus is the same sherish as tefillah, because what is tiflus hischabrus? I want to have a kesher with you. I want to become close to you. So tefillah really, by definition, is the ability that we have to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everybody wants to get close to Rebbeinu, or we should be wanting to get close to Rebbeinu. The way to do that is by davening. Kishahadam mispalel v'shayfich lib lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person davens and he pours out his heart in front of Hashem, azayhu zaycha le'ezam madrega shel eskavas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is zaycha to a certain degree of intimacy with Hashem. It's also a mitzvah we had in last week's parasha. You should cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asher zeo tachlis kol ha-mitzvahs. Kedisa b'zei HaKadosh, she'a tarjag mitzvahs hein tarjag itin, sheish meis v'sholish esrei eitzes, lahasig u'lagia l'mitzvahs u'vay sidbak, dveikus ha-bari baruch hu. What is a mitzvah? What's a mitzvah? What's tayag mitzvahs? What are they supposed to do? What are they designed to do? They're not commandments. Commandments is one of those, like a misnomer. It's not the right word that is used to, that we translate things with. Sometimes, like if you look in Rav Hirsch, Rav Shem Shemval Hirsch has a commentary on Chumash and on Tefillah, and sometimes he'll say that the common word that we use to translate is like it robs the real definition of the word. Like, I'll give you an example. Carbon. How would you translate carbon? Immediately everybody says sacrifice. But that's not what carbon means. It just became like the way to translate it. But it's like almost the opposite. It robs the true definition of the word. Carbon is not sacrifice implies that you're being meiser nefesh for something. You're giving up something, like like in baseball, you sacrifice, what's it called, sacrificing?
Fly.
What?
Sacrifice fly.
Sacrifice fly? Like you hit a fly ball so that the guy could, you know, run from third to home, right? That's a sacrifice, right? So that's not what a sacrifice, that's not what a carbon is. Carbon is not sacrificing, you're not giving up something. You're gaining something. A carbon is really offering, it's an offering. That's why like a lot of Chumashim translators, an offering. You're offering something, but it's not even that. It's carbon is a lashon kirva, like the Ramban says. You want to bring yourself close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you bring a carbon. But sometimes words are, you know, we have like these wrong definitions of what it means. A mitzvah we is a commandment, right? And it's not a terrible definition. It's not a terrible translation because tzivoy means to command. But when you say about when you call a mitzvah a commandment and you think about what that word means, what's the takeaway? It's like, I don't really want to do it, but my boss is commanding me to do it. I don't want to, but I have no choice. I was commanded to do it. I was like ordered. It's like, you know, your mother commands you to clean your room. She commands you to, you know, to do some shopping for you. I don't want to do it, but she's saying, I must, so I'm doing it. It's not what a mitzvah is. A mitzvah really, the Zayar and others say that it's really, a mitzvah is really an opportunity. These are opportunities. There's 613 opportunities that you have to get dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every mitzvah is really that. When you boil down a mitzvah, what is it? It's an opportunity to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, you know, you take a lulav and esrog. For us, it might be just a motor skill. Like we take a lulav and esrog, we shake it like a robot, we put it down, you know, and if we're, you know, for Nusach Sfard, we're lucky because we get to already kill two birds with one stone. We have halal, it's out for halal anyway. Yichapei Shanis, you know, and then you don't have to keep on putting it in and taking it. But if you're Ashkenaz Nebuch, you have to like cut it back. And then I was a Talmud, I'm a Talmud of Rav Aaron Schechter, the Rashi of Chaim Berlin, Zefet Tzadik Levracha. I never felt anything that he did was like a commandment. It was like he was so excited to do a mitzvah. Shabbos, Kiddush, Havdalah, Purim, everything was an Avaida and a unique Avaida. It wasn't like, you know, even if we're excited, maybe we like just, we do it like all at once, like they're all the same. Every mitzvah is like a different flavor candy. It's like a different thing. Wow, I get to do a lulav and esrog. I get to do tkiyas shofar. And it has meaning. It's an opportunity of kirvas Hashem. Tefillah is really the greatest opportunity of kirvas Hashem. Now, if you don't feel that it's kirvas Hashem, it's either because we don't really understand tefillah yet, and we're going to, right? That's going to be our objective this year, mitzvah Hashem, is to really get a very good working understanding of what davening is, because we spend a lot of time every day davening. It's like, you know, like they say, you should really like what you do for a living because you spend at least 8 hours a day doing it. You should really try to like it. So if we spend a long time every single day, we're putting, let's say, 45 minutes to an hour in Shacharis, and then another, I don't know, 20 minutes Mincha, and then another 20 minutes Ma'ariv, and then on Shabbos, it's much longer, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah. You know, if we're doing a lot of davening, doesn't it behoove us to, like, understand it and appreciate it? So davening is an opportunity, like no other, to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imagine a day that we didn't have davening. Can you imagine what our day would look like if there was no such thing as davening? You wake up and, you know, maybe you wash Nagel Vassar, and then you go to work or you go to yeshiva and there's no davening. And then in the afternoon, there's no mincha. You have to always, you know, if you're in office or in your yeshiva or you're in an airport, you're chapping a mincha, you know, Ma'ariv. Imagine if we would go through an entire day Chas v'shalom without davening. What would our day look like? We would have no opportunity whatsoever to remember that there's a Rabbeinu Shalom and to talk to the Rabbeinu Shalom and to cry to the Rabbeinu Shalom and to share with the Rabbeinu Shalom. So we have built in three formal opportunities to be mistabik with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have a rendezvous with Hashem. And even if you know what tefillah is, I think sometimes when we don't have a good appreciation for tefillah, it's because we have it good in life. I know that no one's life is perfect, but sometimes like we think it's pretty good and we don't need Hashem, kaviyachol. I once met an old friend of mine who he became very wealthy. And I asked him, I bumped into him after many, many years. He was older than me. And I said, like, where do you live? He used to live, you know, closer to where I live. Where do you live? He says, I live on Sutton Place. Sutton Place is like, it's on the east side of Manhattan. It's like the schmitziest, ritziest part of Manhattan. And so I said, oh, that's, you know, the apartments there like probably start at $10 million and up for like the schwachester apartment. So I said, oh, where do you daven there? So he says, no. He says, if you live on Sutton Place, you don't need to daven anymore. That's it. You're good. You know, what do you need to daven for? You have everything. You live on Sutton Place. Like, that's enough. So that's sort of like maybe, you know, not maybe to that degree, but we sometimes feel like, I don't really need it. Things are good. Baruch Hashem. You know, things are good. My family is healthy and I'm in a good yeshiva and I'm doing well and I have my major cut out for me and I know where I'm going and I feel good about life. So I don't really need that relationship. Sometimes I remember myself like when things were tough in life and, you know, and on and off, that's how life is. You know, you have ups and you have downs. But the times that things were really tough for me is the times that not only did I get into davening much more, but I almost like I needed davening. I was like looking for like if I had tzaris and I was like during night seder, I was like, what time is Mayriv? Like I needed a Mayriv. I needed to connect with the Rabbi Nishan because it was like the only safety, it was like the only shelter that I felt like I could talk to the Rabbi Nishan and he was listening to me. And I could communicate with the only being in the world that could actually help me. And that's Tveka. So the two reasons that we gave tonight for Tefillah, the first one being that I need something, which is a good thing, that you come to the Rabbi Nishan, that's Bitachon, that you need HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that very much dovetails with Tveka. It's not like, okay, you have two choices. Either you need something or you're being mistabik. No, sometimes the needing something is a vehicle for Tveka, because like I need you. I need to daven. I think I read once that the Alishur of Shlomo Volbe, he never daven mincha like later in the day. You know, sometimes we daven mincha mayra back to back, right? Either plag minyan or shkia minyan or whatever. We like davening back to back. In yeshivas, they don't do that, right? In yeshivas, they have a shachris and then they have an early mincha like when we have it, and then they daven mayra later. And Rav Volbe never ever. I don't know, never ever, but he, for the most part, he always, even if he was in yeshiva, even if it was like Ben Azmanim, he always davened mincha early, like by a mincha gedayla. Why? Because he says, I can't wait that long to daven another mincha. I have to like space it out. I need the Rabbi Nishan. I need to be mistabik with the Rabbi Nishan. Can't wait till 8 o'clock at night to daven mincha from 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock, 12 hours without communicating with the Rabbi Nishan, it's an impossibility for me. So people that are real Balei Aveda, they don't like dread tefillah. They don't look at tefillah, gosh, it's time to daven again. They look forward to it because they see davening as a vehicle for Dveikus Bakadosh Baruch Hu. And that's, you know, that's what we want. That's what we're here for. The Alzeh, this is what Rav Moshe Wolfson is telling us, that and he was a master. Like if you're reading a sefer from somebody, it's always important. That's why I gave that little hakdama about Rav Moshe Wolfson. It's always nice to know who's saying this. So if let's say I wrote a sefer and I'm telling you how important it is to be mistabik the Rav Moshe, you might like understandably roll your eyes and say like, "Well, I saw him davening. He's not always on fire davening." What's he writing a sefer? What's he preaching to us about Tveikas Bakadosh Baruch Hu? Come on. But if Rav Moshe Wolfson is writing this, then and we know that he was a tremendous Baal Avaida and Tfilas. His Tfilas were like, you know, of the highest echelon. So he's Neman. When he's saying this, we get a real feel for the truth of what tefillah is, because he understood it. So Rav Moshe Wolfson is saying that when a person is mevakesh umispalak HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you need something, and you're davening, whether it's for what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, or a personal tzara, or you're confused about something, you're in a machlekus, whatever it is that you need from Hashem, leitia ikar tachlis b'tfila shimal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't make it just that I need this, it's a vending machine. It might be that that's your motivation. It might be that the thing that drew you to davening is that you need something. That's fine. But that shouldn't be the end all. But what is davening? If somebody wakes you up in the middle of the night and says, why do I daven? Why do I daven? I daven because I want to get a dveikus in Hashem. I want to be as close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as possible. V'ani kirves halikim litayv. Ein ani mitzapeh dafka shetfilosi tiskabel v'yimalu mishalaisi. I don't just want that my tefillah should be niskabel. I'm not in it just to get out what I want. V'adeh shekaveh shetiskabel. Obviously, I want it. I want my relative to feel good again, to be healthy. I want my relative who lost his job to get a new job. I want to be able to do well in yeshiva. I want to have a great zman. I want to, have a kesher with my rebbe. I want to have all the things that you might be davening for. Of course, you should hope that you do get your tefillos answered. Ach ein ze hatachlis hamachum, but that's not the whole point of davening. That's a very immature notion of davening, that I'm just davening because I need something, and amidst Hashem, as we get close to Rosh Hashanah, we're going to discuss more about this, because this is a very, very, everybody, I always get, before Rosh Hashanah, people coming over to me, asking me, what should be my kavana in my davening on Rosh Hashanah? Davening Rosh Hashanah, what do you think about? When people are davening these very long Shemoneh Esrei's and like with all the kavanas, what are you thinking about? We'll get to it. I don't want to give away that bad, but that's something that, this is all very relevant. Keep this in mind. We're not asking just for ourselves. It's a much deeper relationship that's being formed when we daven, and that is, even if we want something and we need something and we hope that we get it, that shouldn't eclipse the real point of davening. Ach ein zikr ha-tachlis ha-mukhum b'tfila el tachlis ve-kavonis ha-tfila yiskarvus. Ki im ikr ha-kavona b'tfila hirak l'malach esreinei. If the only purpose of davening is to get what we want, hari ze begeder oiver Ayved Amanas Lakabo Pras. That's like sort of that servant that we know he's just serving his boss just to get paid. And what does the boss think about such people? All you want is to get my money. You're not interested in serving me because you don't want to be my Eved. You just need me because you know that I have the goods and you need the goods. So we have a transactional relationship. That's not the type of Abdus that we're supposed to have. And the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that very clearly. When we're lacking something, that's a good thing because it creates an opportunity to speak with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Melech Malchei HaMalchim, HaBarish HaKol Yetzirah V'Ein Seif, Ashemerum Gavai, Hu Paine La'Adam Paine Elai, V'shemeh b'kailai, al afshu karetz michaymeh v'shavol b'er kitana, v'umash b'latz mishmaelov. Amazing. We are actually able, when we daven, think about this. When we're davening, what are we doing? We are karetz chaymeh, we're mortals. We're very, very, I don't know a good word, but like we're very, ephemeral, transient beings. There's no permanence to a human being. A human being is basically like a fly, like a mosquito. We have a very, short lifespan relative to the, to the Ein Sof, to eternity, where we live here 70 years, if we're lucky, 80 years, maybe 90 years. As the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Yemei Shnei Sem Bam Shivim Shana, The average lifespan of a person is 70 years. In Mekvurish, if you're a little stronger, you get 80 years. Today, you get a little bit longer, maybe. But v'rabam amal v'aven, it's all, you know, after you knock out the amount of time that we sleep and we eat, and you basically, you know, you have a good 10 years of life, maybe 20 years of like real living, learning, doing things. So what are we? We're really very insignificant in the big scheme of things, and yet, and this is the point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech Malkei HaMlochim. When a Yid opens up his Siddur and starts davening to the Rabbeinu Shalom, even if you don't open up your Siddur, let's say you're taking a walk and you're talking to the Rabbeinu Shalom, I need this, I don't know why I'm in this matzav, but this is what I need from you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stops everything that he's doing, Kaviyachol, and he turns his ear to us, and he listens to us, and he wants to help us. He wants to, just like we want to be mistabik with him, he wants to be mistabik with us. Can you imagine that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chveido v'atzmai wants us, when we daven, he's listening, he's paying attention, he wants to form a relationship. And that's what Davan HaMelech writes, Ahavti kishma Hashem es kailo tachlinu. I love it when Hashem listens to my voice. Because I know that when I daven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paying attention to me. Hashem HaGadol Melech Malchei HaMlochem Loizu Bilvad Sheshmed. Not only does he listen to our tefillah, Afu Makshib Miyucha L'Tefillah Sekitaz Enli. He bends his ear, Kaviyachol, to me. He wants to listen to me. He's almost, if you can use the term, he's chalishing to listen to us. He loves our tefillahs. He wants to get a relationship much more than we want a relationship. Sometimes, you know, a parent, you know, as much as a child wants a relationship with a parent wants a relationship with a child much more. As much as a Talmud wants a relationship with a Rebbe wants a relationship with a Talmud much more. And it's the same with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As much as we want a connection to the Rabbeinu Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the connection with us. But the connection has to be formed when we start to come to him and we daven to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens. He bends his ear to me. And that's why David Melech says, I have to kish. I love that. I love that understanding that I'm not talking to the wall when I daven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing in front of me and I'm standing in front of him, and we have a relationship. We have a histapkus. We have a rendezvous together three times a day. And when a Yid is able to actually feel that I'm opening up a Siddur, I'm saying Shacharis, I'm not just I'm saying Shacharis, I'm, you know, I guess it's a good time to speak about coming to davening in the morning in yeshiva. You know, there's two ways of coming to davening. There's a, like, okay, you know, like you hit the snooze button 20 times, then you come and it's already Yishtabach or Shemon Esrei. It's one way of doing it. The other way is not coming at all, obviously. But the best way of doing it is to be excited to get up. The alarm rings and you stop it and you get out of bed and you get ready and you run to davening. You run to davening because, not because you're trying to be frum, but because when you understand what Rav Moshe Wolfson is saying, that you have a connection to the Rabbeinu Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for you to come to davening. Just as much as you need him, he needs you, Kaviyachol. You start developing a relationship with that person. And nothing can get in the way. I don't want to. I can't wait to daven. You know, there's certain like endorphins that kick in when I'm going to daven, if you're feeling it right. If you're not feeling right, if you just think davening is just a waste of my time, nothing happens, there's no relationship, I'm just saying some words, I don't know what they mean anyway, you know, then of course you're staying in bed, of course it's not interesting. But if you develop a feeling about davening that it's an opportunity to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's waiting for us, and he wants to build that relationship more than we want it, then we come to davening. That's what a Ben Taira does. You come and you don't even think. It's not even a question. Once it's a question, that means we don't get davening. If we run to davening because I'm dying for it, you know, then that's, you know, that's the way it is. That's the way, you know, that's the way to really look at davening. Davening, we have to have a complete sea change of perception of what davening is. And we have to like, and that's what this Vat is going to do, Mitzvah Hashem, for all of us. We're going to like put on the side all of our preconceived notions about davening, and we're going to get a real hashkafa about what davening is, what it enables me to do, what it affords me to do, and what it does in terms of my relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom to build and to get stronger and to get closer to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always maven umazin, mabin umakshav l'chal tefillah shnei mispal, every single davening that we say. Again, it doesn't even have to be Shachris min Chamayr. It might be, I'm taking a walk, I'm driving in my car, I'm just talking to the Rabbeinu Shalom. You ever have that experience? You ever like, a lot of times you get into the car, what's the first thing you do? You pop in a, you turn on a shir, you put on some music, you know, you start like, I don't know, you're fidgety. Just talk to the Rabbeinu Shalom. You're sitting on an airplane, you're lying in bed at night and you can't fall asleep and you're like, right away your phone or you're this and you're that. Just talk to the Rabbeinu Shalom. There's so much to talk to him about. And when you talk to him, he's listening. He's really listening. And when he's listening, you have the King of Kings that's listening to everything that you're saying. He cares about you, his concern, and you're building a relationship with somebody that with a being that's eternal, omnipotent, loving, caring, but the relationship that you're gonna have with him is really built on this all important Avodah Shebalev called Tefillah.